Good morning. Have you ever had a phrase just kind of get stuck in your head? Yeah? No? You ever had a phrase sometimes you didn't want it to? Like, it's a small world after all? So somebody just sings that song and you're like, well, that's there for the next 3 weeks. For me, it's ice cream. My daughters know, unfortunately, that on Friday, if they just say the words ice cream, it's in my head and I cannot get it out of my head. And before I know it, I'm on my way to Super Duper and spending too much money on ice cream. Does anybody else ever have that? Somebody says pizza, or I don't know, what is it for you? Something? Yes, maybe depends on where you're from. I've had this phrase stuck in my head. A friend mentioned it. It's a Bible phrase. And I just have not been able to shake it. And so I want to bless you with it so it can get stuck in your head too. Because it's been very powerful in my life the last couple of weeks. And I've been singing it because some other people wrote songs based on this passage. And I cannot get it out of my head. And I think that it has the potential and the power to impact my life and to impact your life and to impact the communities that we're a part of here at ICA and in Cambodia. And if you're just visiting, the communities where you are from. Right. It's potent. It is true. I want to put this in your head. It is life and nation changing. It's a prophetic word, not my prophetic word, but it is a prophetic word, speaking truth into darkness. It's this phrase, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You say that with me? Because I really want this to get stuck in your head like it's a small world, because this is a lot better. You ready? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We're not going to have that much on the screen today, but I am going to read some passages and we're going to say this phrase over and over because sometimes we're slow and we need repetition. So say it along with me one more time. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What would change if we remembered this phrase? What would change if I really let that phrase percolate, stew for a little bit, or brew? Would I have deeper hope? Would you have deeper hope if you let that phrase stick? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yeah, I think so. I think we would have deeper hope. Would you have greater peace? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you think that could bump up our level of peace? Yeah, I think so. Would it help us stay oriented to north, to truth? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't do that. You don't do that. Your NGO doesn't do that. Your church doesn't do that. Jesus Christ does that. It takes away the sin of the world. What would happen if our church sat with this for a little bit? Our missions, our ministries. A couple of songs, I'm not going to sing them for you, don't worry, but a couple of songs are based on this passage, and I just want to let you know, I posted them to the ICA Facebook page. I've been listening to them for 2 weeks. One is old. It's from a guy named Handel and his Messiah. So you can check that out. And it's based on this passage, Behold the Lamb of God. Another one is by an American musician named Andrew Peterson. If you want to sit with these ideas with music, check out the ICA Facebook page and look for those links. I've been sitting with them for a while. So I want to try something just for maybe 30 seconds. I'm just going to stop talking. And I want you to sit with this phrase. Let it sit. Let the weight of it settle. And then we'll go on. All right? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If it's helpful, go ahead and close your eyes. Sit with this. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Father God, would you help us today to remember this truth? Would you plant this truth deep into the lives of your people that it would produce fruit? We don't even know what kind of fruit it would produce, but we know that it would be good because it comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we know that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. We know that he is the beginning and the end. There's not one word, there's not one phrase that encapsulates all of who Christ is. But he is definitely the Lamb. And I want to talk about that and really sit with the identity of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. I'm not a painter. I am not an art or history buff, but I do occasionally like to read. And I was reading a book that's based on, it's a historical book based on Leonardo da Vinci. So we could go ahead and show this first picture. In around 1500, this is a long time ago, in Italy, Leonardo da Vinci painted this. It's called The Virgin and Child with Saint Anne. I don't know who Saint Anne is. Historically, Saint Anne is the highest one, the one in the very back. Leonardo drew Saint Anne in this picture as Mary's mother. So Mary is sitting on Saint Anne's lap, and she is wrangling her toddler, Jesus Christ. Anybody ever wrangled a toddler? Anybody ever tried to keep a toddler on their lap? Please show me your hand. I'm not the only person who has ever tried to hold a toddler. Okay, this is Jesus as an infant, or as a toddler. What is he grabbing? The Lamb. The biographer, Walter Isaacson, said this: Mary's right arm is stretched as she tries to restrain the Christ child, showing a protective but gentle love. But he, Jesus, is intent on wrestling with the Lamb, his leg over its neck and his hands grappling with its head. The Lamb represents the passion, Jesus' fate, and he will not be restrained from it. I should also say this. We know that Mary and Jesus were not white. I got that, all right? This is just how Leonardo painted them. So I showed my daughters one, and she's like, why are they white? I'm like, I don't know. It's just Leonardo. You can argue with him sometime. But listen to this again. The Lamb represents the passion, Jesus' fate, and he will not be restrained from it. Wow. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's go to the close-up photo, if we could. It's just been sticking with me. This photo, for this painting for me, illustrates the purpose and intent of Jesus as God to reach out, to grab the Lamb, to become the Lamb for us. Amen? Luke says that Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. And Peter says it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All right, so let's look in John chapter 1 and see where this phrase comes from. This is not going to be on the screen. I encourage you to open up your Bibles. In whatever language you need, we're going to go into John chapter 1. Or you can just listen. Active listening is a very powerful thing when it comes to the Word of God. So we're at John chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Here's where the phrase comes from. Right. John 1, 19. This was John the Baptist's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and said, "I am not the Messiah." Okay? Remember, this is a story. Please don't just hear this as a Bible lesson. This is a story. The religious leaders come to John and say, "Who are you that you're doing what you're doing?" And he says, "I'm not the Messiah." 21. "Well then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we are expecting?" "No." "Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal." This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting on him. I did not know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." Amen. Praise God for his word. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does this mean? What does this mean? Look, behold, see. The word, it's a simple word, and it's used to indicate surprise. Some versions translate it, "lo." Some versions translate it, "see, look, behold." Hey, look at this. I don't know, how would you say it in your language? Whoa, check that out. Are you with me? That's crazy. Hey, look at this. We've been waiting for him. This is amazing. He is here, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You guys know Pastor Tim, right? Yes, you've heard him. We've all heard him. He gets excited sometimes, yeah? He gets very excited sometimes. Imagine, hey, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the... Can you imagine Tim saying that? I don't think I've ever heard Tim talk like that. He would be like, "Hey, look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Amen. He doesn't talk like that when you're out for coffee, so don't worry. If you ever want to go out for coffee, he doesn't, "I'll take a latte, and please make it big." All right. Whoa, hey, look at this. This is the Lamb of God. Now, the Message version says it like this. The very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and yelled out, "Here he is, God's Passover lamb. He forgives the sins of the world. This is the man I've been talking about, the one who comes after me, but is really ahead of me. I knew nothing about who he was, only this, that my task," John says, "my task has been to get Israel ready to recognize him as the God revealer. That is why I came here baptizing with water, giving you a good bath and scrubbing sins from your life, so you can get a fresh start with God." It reminds me of the exclamations that happen at airports. Have you ever been waiting for somebody at the airport? You're waiting for them to come out of the terminal. Have you ever experienced that? Even if you've never traveled, my guess is you've experienced that. I got to go visit my sister and one of my nieces this year in the United States, just for a week. Excuse me. And my little niece is about 2 years old, and she's adorable, and I didn't know if she would recognize me. I didn't know. I sent her some FaceTime, you know, things, wanting to make sure that she at least knew who I was, and it's a long trip from here to the United States. I will never, ever forget walking out of the airport in Portland, walking down the plank, sort of walking out of the terminal, looking. I'm looking for my sister. I'm looking for my little niece. And out of nowhere, this little toddler, have you ever seen a toddler run? I don't know how they stay upright because they run like, "Whoa!" You seen that? Yeah? It's so adorable. Out of nowhere, my little two-year-old niece starts running all the way down to me. Why? She's excited to see me. "Hey, he's here. Look." Wow. Oh, my goodness. This is so much fun. I want to show you a video. It's a commercial from some airline in Northern Europe. But I want us to feel what this is. "Hey, look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So can we show that? I made the mistake of previewing that at Jars of Clay. Like, oh, I need some more tissues. This food's so spicy. No, I was just crying. Because the arrivals hall is a place of high emotion. For good or bad. Behold, the Lamb of God, the one we've been waiting for. He's here. He's here to take away the sin of the world. Do you feel that? It's amazing. I love the lady. You guys, I think, chuckled. The lady, "Oh!" That's Elizabeth's mom. I mean, that's not Elizabeth's mom, but that's exactly what Elizabeth's mom is. She doesn't care about us, I think. It's the kids. "Oh! She's so excited. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We've been waiting for him. This is amazing. This is amazing." It's exciting for them. John knows this. He's saying, hey, he knows what this means for the people he's talking to. He knows this information matters to them, and it matters to us. And you know, it matters to the people around us too. Whether they listen or not, we as God's people can say, hey, this is him. This is the guy who takes away the sin of the world. So let's look at the historical context, some of where this is coming from and why this would have mattered so much to the people who were listening. Because the Jews who were hearing John speak, they knew stories about lambs, right? These stories about lambs were etched into their soul. I mean, their national psyche was primed to understand and to hear stories about lambs deep in their gut. Does your culture have those stories? I'm sure it does. Every culture does. This story that resonates on a very deep level. And your culture is different than mine, but if I go up to an American and say, you know, the British are coming, apologies, love you guys, but, you know, The British are coming. Everybody, Americans know and they feel that. That's part of our identity. A tea party, right? That was not really a tea party. This is a story that's very much part of our identity. And my guess is your culture has that too. Okay? Give me liberty or give me death for an American. That's a really prime phrase, a very historical phrase. These people, the ones John was talking to, they had those stories too. Their identity, these stories about lambs were etched into their minds and gave them security and identity, and it showed them that they were chosen and that they were protected. And Jesus is about to enlarge these stories and fulfill these stories. Jesus is about to be the provided lamb, right, the substitute wrapped in thorns so Isaac wouldn't die. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Jesus is about to be the bleeding lamb, giving his blood as a covering to protect the people of Israel from death so that they could get up in the morning and leave Egypt. These are huge parts of their identity as the people of God. All right, so let's get some context. Genesis chapter 22. You can listen or if you want to look it up. Genesis 22, verse 7. This is one of the biggest stories if you're John's hearers in the gospel story. Genesis 22, verse 7. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" This is a real question. Is there hiking up a mountain? "God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," Abraham replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means "The Lord will provide." And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And I encourage you to make that a proverb in your life too. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. In the place of deep testing and sacrifice, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. For John's hearers, the Lamb of God means right now it is being provided. Isaac doesn't have to die. We don't have to die. The Lamb of God is here. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Right. Exodus chapter 12, another very important story that would have been echoing in the minds of the people that John is talking to. It's the Exodus story. Exodus chapter 12, 21. Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, "Go, pick out a lamb or young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin. Take a bundle of branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the branches across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses. No one may go out through the door until morning, for the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe, the Lord will pass over your home." Covered by the Passover lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Say that with me a couple times. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. One more time. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John's saying to those around him, your covering is here. The final Passover lamb is here. We do not have to die. We do not have to die. In fact, not only are we going to stay alive, we get to leave Egypt. Remember, they got freedom and they got snacks for the journey. All the Egyptians who are giving them stuff as they leave. Amazing. prophecy in Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. This history, these stories, would have been resonating all over the place when John says this. These people knew these stories. Behold, the Lamb of God. Wait, whoa. That begins a cascade, and all these thoughts and all these stories are in the hearts and the minds of the people he's talking to. And either John is absolutely crazy. Well, we think he was pretty crazy already, right? I mean, he's out in the wilderness, and he's going against the flow in a very big way. But when he says, behold, the Lamb of God, he is either absolutely crazy, or they realize they are witnessing a historical event of unprecedented magnitude. This is huge. Behold the Lamb of God. One commentary said, we've become so familiar with these words, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right, blah, 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 is that we've become so familiar that our senses have been deadened to their greatness. How audacious these words would sound to some of their first hearers. In other words, we've heard them so many times, they've kind of gotten dull. But this commentator is saying, for the people who were hearing this, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is crazy. This is big. This is huge in their culture, in their religion, in everything about their nation. This is big news. All right. So I'm hoping that today some of that greatness has been returned or restored so that when you hear the phrase in your own prayer time or when you read it in the scriptures, behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I hope that these words sound as audacious, as impacting to you, as they would have to the people then. In fact, I encourage you to pray this prayer every day, maybe 5 times. Not for repetition's sake, but for sinking in sake. To just sit with it. To just sit with it. Listen to the songs that I posted on the Facebook page. Behold the Lamb of God. What does that mean? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your life? For your work? For your relationships? Look. See, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No more guilt, no more shame. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on back up. They're going to lead us in one song, and then we'll close in prayer. But I just want you to hear me in this. Abraham says, God will provide a lamb, right? Abraham says, God will provide a lamb. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God. Moses says, you need to cover yourself, you need to cover your household in the blood of a Passover lamb. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Isaiah says, this lamb will be led to his death. He will be pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you say, I'm too broken. I'm too weak. I've done too much bad stuff. I'm too messed up. I'm too damaged. I'm too unworthy. And I say to you this morning, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May we hear this message today. May we grab others and point them to it and say, look at this. It's not me, but look. Look and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John said, my task has been to get Israel ready to recognize him as the God revealer. Can we do that? Can we be people who help others recognize Jesus as the God revealer, the one who reveals our God? Can we recommit to doing that? Can we get excited in the arrivals hall? You see? Behold, the Lamb of God He's here. This is amazing. And if you've never really seen Christ as the Lamb of God, he has come. But if you have never welcomed him as your Savior, why not? He's here. He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. And I encourage you this morning to consider welcoming him as the Lamb of God into your life who takes away the sin. I encourage you to respond to him in water baptism. Here, talk to one of the pastors about when we can schedule that. He has come to take away the sin of the world. He has come to take away your sin, to cover you in his righteousness, his holiness, his cleanness. He has come to call you his child. Do not forget. Now remember, this is so fascinating to me. We know through many, many scriptures that he rejoices when somebody comes to him, right? He rejoices when the lost are found. Amen? Amen. So in this sort of twist of things, he's the one in the arrivals hall waiting for us. He's the one who's excited when somebody is coming to him. Whoa, they're here. They've come home. Let's celebrate. So stand up with me. Picture this. Jesus waiting on the other end of the arrivals hall, saying, "Ah, I have wanted them to come. I have been waiting for them. Look, they're here. They're coming down. This is so exciting. I have wanted to be with them. I have wanted to celebrate with them. Welcome home. Welcome home, my beloved." Is that not what we all want to hear? We all want to hear somebody say, "I've been waiting for you. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm so excited that you've shown up. I'm so excited that you got on that plane and that you showed up." How special is that? And Jesus, in this great cosmic turn of events, is waiting for us, saying, "Welcome home, my beloved, my child. I've been longing for you. I've been longing for this day. Come on. Guess what I have planned for you? I have amazing things planned for you. I want to show you this thing. I want to show you this thing. I want to take you to this restaurant. Let's go have this feast, and this is going to last forever." That's amazing. That's absolutely astounding, the love of God for us. Don't forget. Don't let these words be just something you heard once. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Say it with me one more time, and then we'll sing. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. One more time. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's sing, and then we'll pray.